What up, guys? It's Rook here, drummer from Machine Gun Kelly, and you're listening to Sellouts, the podcast for MGK fans by MGK fans, presented by Pink Bucks. Let's go!
But no matter how hard the road gets, man, keep chasing these pavements till you can't run anymore. Lace up. Welcome to another episode of Sellouts, the podcast for MGK fans by MGK fans, presented by Pink Bucks. I am your host, Mike Kyle. And today I am joined by Graham Davies. Graham, welcome to the podcast, man.
How you doing? I had a great day. How was your Jaden concert last night?
Jaden was awesome. So I appreciate you being willing to reschedule this, because like Matt Wright in the last episode, you also kind of got the shaft because of Jaden. But I think that's a pretty good reason to give you the shaft and push this back.
I wouldn't even call it a shaft, dude. You were going out having fun, seeing an artist that's like linked to MGK. You feel me? I'm glad you had a great time. I hope it was sick.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was my girlfriend and I's 1 year anniversary. So that was another reason.
Hell yeah.
Why I had to cancel that as well. But all worth it. All great. And Jaden, if you haven't seen him live, go do it.
Gotta check him out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, Graham. So let's start off with this, okay? How did you become a fan of MGK?
All right, so in eighth grade, I had one of my closest friends pass away that was very, very close to me. And I ended up finding MGK through Stamp of Approval. And one of my favorite songs off that, I think it's called Untouchables. And I kind of fell in love with his music. Even after that, like Black Flag, EST for Life, Rage Pack, 100 Words and Running, like all that. And I started like really young, doing kind of bad stuff like drugs and stuff. And, off the Lace Up mixtape, one of my favorite songs was called Lead You On. It reminded me a lot about my life, especially that part where he says scratching at the surface, but the bottom's where I'm at. When I was in eighth grade, I didn't really see myself making it past 18. And MGK's music has helped me through a lot of traumatic stuff, especially like growing up. And he was probably one of the first artists I started listening to, aside from Linkin Park. That was the very first CD my pops ever let me buy, which was Linkin Park Hybrid Theory.
Wow. All right. Well, so, Graham, there's a lot of stuff we can kind of go into off that.
Yeah.
So you, like, we have OG, but then we have Super OG. Yeah. I feel like that's kind of where, if your first MGK, like, experience came in through Stamp of Approval.
Yeah.
Which is a mixtape that he no longer references or, like, wants attached to him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're looking at 2008 in that point. 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
You know, I came in 2010, so I thought I was like, but you got me beat, man. That's wild. Yeah. So, all right. So you're going through a lot of heavy shit.
Yep.
During that time, right? You're looking at like eighth grade, then, you know, high school and things of that nature, you know, drugs, losses of friends, all that, which, you know, going through at any age is tough, let alone, you know, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
So what was it about, you know, MGK's music at that point that really just like resonated with you?
Just like his vibe and how he would not, I mean, obviously he doesn't only rap, but he sings too, but just like how he would tell stories about what he went through himself and how he made it through what he went through. I think that was something. He wasn't like one of those rappers where it was just that whole like pussy money weed and all that. You know what I mean? He really had that like movement to him and like that true like rapping about mental health and relationships and stuff like that. For sure.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest things for me.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of that message, I mean, Laced Up. We have, I mean, the hat you're wearing right now is the OG Young and Reckless Lace Up collab.
Yep.
And then we have custom Lace Up dunks in front of you. Like, dude, what is, at that point, cause, you know, we've kind of dropped Lace Up. We still have it to a degree. We're now, you know, full blown EST and everyone stands together.
Yeah.
But Lace Up meant something.
And I even got it tattooed on my shoulder, and I have You Can't See My Tears in the Rain. on my right forearm as well. So
I, my cousin in my bedroom growing up painted the Lace Up logo in like a big mural style on my bedroom wall when I was like 12. So Lace Up meant something.
Yeah, absolutely.
For you, and Lace Up is different than Everybody Stands Together.
It's
very different.
EST is one of those big things. It's like one big family, you know what I mean? And I thank my buddy Matt Laporte for the hat. I joined the, I remember I was telling you about East Coast Devils. He was the one that like started that, and that I kind of like fell into that group while I was going through a lot of stuff, so. Big shout out to Matt Laporte and Tanya Laporte. They helped me through a tremendous amount, and I got this in like a mystery box. So
super cool, man. What during that time?
Yep.
What did Lace Up mean to you? Because Lace Up really the cool thing about Lace Up for people that are kind of new.
Yeah.
Lace Up was so ambiguous in what it meant.
Yeah.
It really was, right? EST is very defined.
Yep.
Lace Up meant whatever you wanted it to
be. Yeah, exactly.
So for you, what did Lace Up mean?
So for me, what Lace Up meant was to really, like, if I was going through something, to put my head down and power through that shit and know that I wasn't alone. And I had all these people around me that had the same interest in an artist that I did that I could hit up and reach out to that would help me. That's like the biggest part of the movement that I love. And then another meaning for Lace Up to me is it's hockey related, because I've been playing hockey since I was like 2-3 years old. And that part of it was like more of lacing up my skates and whatever I had on my mind during that time before I got on that ice. The minute I stepped on that ice, it would disappear. And when I play hockey, I literally sing MGK lyrics to myself in my head without even like realizing it.
Yeah, and that's actually why we started off the episode with some good old lyrics from Chasing Pavement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which you have a pretty good story about. So if you want to share that and kind of how that song had an impact on you, I think our audience would love to hear it.
Yeah. So Chasing Pavements for me, during that time, I had gotten out of rehab, and my goal getting out of rehab was to make a junior hockey team. And I tried out for one, got cut. Tried out for another, and I made it as a practice squad player. And before every practice, before every preseason game, before every showcase for my junior hockey team, no matter how far I was driving, I would play Chasing Pavements on repeat. And it was just like, I don't know, just give me this like newfound confidence, you know what I mean? Like how he just says, like, just don't give up, like keep chasing it, keep chasing that dream. And from that song, I chased that dream. And by the last preseason game on the way home from Boston, Massachusetts, my coach called me and was like, hey, like, we want you on the full squad. And I was like, all right, let's get it. Like, I think I cried, honestly. And I was listening to that song on the way home, and I'll never forget that call from my coach Lars. And I was crying, man. I was so happy, because that was like my number one goal coming out of rehab was making a junior hockey team. And I can thank that song big time for it, big time.
Yeah. And I would imagine, right, Chasing Pavements has to be, you know, in your top three, if not top one.
So I think my number one song would probably be Lead You On, because that song helped me get, I have 13 years clean from heroin and hard drugs. So that song like truly helped me out big time to get clean from like hard drugs and stuff. And then probably definitely Chasing Pavements. And then my third would probably be like Glass House. That's like another one of my absolute favorite songs.
Three masterpieces, yeah. If I do say so myself. And that's a really good top three. That is a great top three. I love that you said Lace Up to you, like, it really was like symbolic in the way that you laced up your skates.
Yeah.
Before practice or games. Yeah. Similarly for me, like Lace Up meant like, let's fucking go.
Yep.
That was my translation for Lace Up, where it's just like, all right, bootstraps, let's go.
Yeah.
Like whatever it is like that you're trying to do, like, let's just go fucking get it.
Yeah.
And that's what Lace Up. I think, for me, when I was becoming, you know, this diehard MGK fan, it was during, like, those years in high school where, for me, it was basketball related.
Yeah.
where I was, and I've mentioned this a few times on podcasts, just like my stature. I'm also a skinny white dude from Cleveland.
Okay.
Like, so super, super similar. And I don't know if you guys know anything about basketball, but when you're skinny, you get knocked on your ass, quite often. And so that was always like a challenge that I had to kind of like learn to overcome.
Yep.
And one of the things that really did like help me through that was Kells and kind of having like that underdog mentality a little bit. And it's just like, we're going to fucking find a way. And it doesn't matter kind of how we do it, but we just got to find that way. Laced up, that's me.
Yeah, I was the same exact way in hockey, dude. Like, I was always a real tiny kid. And if I got hit, I got hit. But, like, you got to catch me. I mean, like, I'm a fast skater, so you got to catch me. Now I'm, like, 200 pounds, but it's all right. Now nobody can really dump me off the puck that easy. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's talk about just MGK concerts, right? I'm assuming you've been to a few.
Yeah. So first concert I ever went to, MGK, was actually with my dad. And I wasn't like fresh out of rehab. Actually, I think I was on a home visit from rehab. And we saw him at the House of Blues in Atlantic City. And it was on the Lace Up Tour. I'm pretty sure it was on the Lace Up Tour. And I stood at the House of Blues, you got the pit, like the standing, and then I was up on the balcony in the first row, and I'll never forget it. He was rapping a song, and he, you know how he loves climbing things, like always, so.
I knew where the story was gonna go as soon as you said, I was on the balcony, I was like, oh, okay, I know where this is going.
So he climbed up, and I dapped him up, and that's like probably the closest I've gotten to meeting him, and like I gave him a high five, and I'll never forget it, dude, again. Like, I teared up. I was so stoked. My dad was sitting like kind of a little higher up, but it was really cool to like share that with my father. Like, my dad's not the type to like really listen to rap music, but I think my favorite concert memory ever, me and my mom saw him on the Hotel Diablo tour at the Starland Ballroom. And my mom is like this real short, like petite blonde woman. And she pushed us all the way up to the front. And now, I promised my mom before we went, I was like, listen, I'll protect you. You're all right. Nothing's going to happen. So I was standing behind her, and he came up like out of the floor. And his first song was Habits. And he came over to my side of the stage. We locked eyes and we were rapping to each other, verse for verse. And my mom noticed. And again, dude, I teared up. I was just so excited. I've never gotten the chance to meet him yet, but that's something that I'd like would really, really like love the chance to do, is get to meet him. And I met Baze, and I talked to him a little bit about the group I had administrator. Which is the East Coast Devils, like I was saying before. But yeah, I've only seen him twice. I really, 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 if it ever comes back, I want to go to EST Fest, like real bad, real bad.
Yeah.
I think the only thing with like that is it's kind of hard to go to something like that 100% sober. You know what I mean? So I think like it'd probably be once it does, like if it does come back, once I get like a little bit more time under my belt from like weed, which like that's kind of what I'm off right now. Like, I got about like 4 months clean from that. So I actually live in a sober house as well. So that's like something that I've been like really, again, like listening to MGK's music to kind of like keep my mind cool if anything like triggers it or anything like that. So.
Yeah. Well, man, I'll tell you this. I don't smoke. So if you want to go next EST Fest, count me in. I got you. Let's go.
So down.
Cool. your concert stories, it's very funny. Like this, like that last story you mentioned specifically through the Hotel Diablo tour. Driving back from the Jaden concert, me and my girlfriend and I, we were just kind of like going through just like songs on shuffle, and Habits came on. And that was it's a song that I love dearly. I never saw it in concert, so I cry internally at that. Probably one of my biggest regrets. But I was explaining to her, I'm like, he used to open with this.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't imagine him opening, like how unreal that would be. Because Habits to me is, this is super, super what crazy. I don't think I've ever like said this like publicly really to anybody. I used to write poetry a little bit, all right? And I would do it over like different instrumentals to songs. So it's kind of more like slam poetry a little bit.
Yeah.
And there was one instrumental, kind of there was two, but there was like one for sure that I said I would never touch because the song is too perfect. And it was Habits.
Yeah.
I will never touch the Habits instrumental because that to me is like the pinnacle of music. It's so good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's crazy because I used to write poetry too. Like when I first like kind of started getting clean, I used to absolutely love writing poetry. And I always wanted to like figure out how to turn it into music, but like I just never got like that outlet to do it.
Yeah, man, it's a fun hobby when you, especially when you get into like the flow and things of that nature. It's just good to always kind of clear the head a little bit as well. All right, let's shift gears here a little bit. All right, so we talked about Lace Up.
Yep.
Let's kind of talk about EST now a little bit, man.
Okay.
What does this whole movement mean to you? You know, you've been here for over a decade now at this point. Honestly, you know, if we're looking at it, you're approaching 15 years of being in this, which is so, so crazy.
Yeah.
So coming from where we were to where we are right now, what's this journey been like?
So in the early, like, beginning, EST, I mean, even nowadays, dude, because, like, I'm still friends with, like, a decent amount of OGs and stuff. Like, just that whole everybody stands together, like, we're all different. You know what I mean? We're all different in our own way. And we all have that one thing we love, and that's MGK. Like, we're a big family and we're there for each other, which like is something that I learned from that group. Anytime I would put anything in there, I'm not feeling so hot. Like, I'm going through this or I lost another friend. It was like just a flood of people that I didn't even really know. Like, we were in the group together, would just message me. And I think, like, that's, like, the biggest thing it means to me is that we're all different, but we're also all one big family, and we're all here for each other. Like, I think that's the biggest thing for me. And even, like, nowadays, like, I know he went down that punk rock route, but, like, I still love that. Like, you know what I mean? He kills that. And, like, it's one of those things where, like, it's not his first time doing punk rock stuff. Like, you know what I mean? If you go to Swing Life Away on Black Flag, it's with Sleeping With Sirens. He was on Warped Tour for years. Like, it's nothing new. Like, he's not, you can never put him in one genre. But, like, yeah, for me, like, EST is just one big family, and we're all here for each other, and we all love each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. What this podcast specifically, right? Like, that's all we're really doing here. Okay. It's just highlighting members of EST or people that want to, you know, come on here and share, like, their Kell's concert stories or what he means to them or, you know, why they love his music and things of that nature. So I love what we turn this kind of into.
Yeah.
It's so cool and it's so much fun, you know, being able to talk to you. You know, and kind of hear your stories, and because I mean, shit, dude. You know, just in what we've been talking, we've been on for 18 minutes.
Doesn't even.
And the stuff that you've talked about so far, you know, has been crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, to have kind of Kells in your ear through all of it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes the dark days not as dark, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I couldn't agree more. It's one of those things where, like, oh man, and I've had like a lot of dark days, dude. Especially like since eighth grade. Like, dude, when I was in eighth grade, I didn't think I was making it past 18, bro. I'm damn near 30. Like, I'm about to be 30 in July. And it's like, I don't know. The thing that really got me through was MGK's music, bro. That was my lifesaver. Like, that was my lifesaver, dude. Like, cause I come from a thick addiction background, a thick mental health background. Like, I've tried taking my own life. And most of the time, the thing that saved me was going in my shower and blasting MGK and just spinning it word for word. And then like everything would kind of dissipate. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that like it would numb everything. Like just listening to his music would truly numb everything.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, for being so open about some of this stuff, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners and our audience, and I mean, as you know, other members of EST, it's, you know, we're all going through shit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and so to have like that commonality, or to hear other people say, listen, I'm going through it too, and the way that I, you know, escape it, so to speak, is the same way that you do.
Yeah.
And that is, it's the shower, it's the car drives, it's the headphones, it's the noise canceling, like, just leave me alone, and I need my tells, I need whatever album, whatever song, and that's kind of all I really need.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And like, I don't know, cool. It's always one of those things that like, I've always been open about it, because there's always that one person that could hear something and relate to it, and that could help them make that step to get help. You know what I mean? Like, they could be going through a dark time right now. Somebody who's watching this, and like, if anything I say like strikes a chord in them to get help, like that's all I want. Like, I work in the recovery field as well. Like, I'm a behavioral health tech. So like, I'm trying to help people every day. And like, even if it's through a podcast like this, I'm just one of those people that love helping no matter what you're going through, like, or anything like that. So.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And I appreciate you, you know, sharing everything on this podcast and being open in that way. You're crushing it, man.
Thank you.
So let's wrap it up with this. All right. Because you're an OG, I like kind of like to play like different games between OGs and newer fans, because I think it's just it's a very interesting way for me to kind of get a good pulse kind of on everything. So when we do this with OGs, right, I'm going to give you a song, two songs. You gotta tell me which song you like better, alright?
Okay.
But with you, it's the OG edition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we might just go straight to mixtapes.
Okay. That.
Cool?
Maybe that's all I use. That.
There we go. Alright. If we had to go off of EST for life.
Yep.
Halo or Letters to My Fans?
Ooh, man. That's a tough one.
I came out of the gate with a banger on that one.
Real tough one. Because all my friends said Halo always reminded them of me, but Letter to My Fans is such, like, I don't know, I want to say iconic song. It's such a banger, but I don't know, man. I think I would have to go with Letter to My Fans for sure.
Nice, cool. If we had to go off of 100 Words and Running, what do I want to go for this? My initial. See, I don't like, it's like, I was gonna go 100 Words and Running or, The Arsonist. But I feel like the answer is 100 Words, yeah. Isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's too iconic. It's too iconic. Blow
in 100 Words and Running is insane. I would like blow my friends' minds when I would like be able to spit that thing verse for verse. They'd be like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So let's go to this instead. Let's go off of Fuck It. All right. Let's go to the Fuck It, mixtape. If we had to go with Blue Skies, oof, or On Everything, which one are you picking?
Probably Blue Skies, mainly, yeah, because I love that video of him doing it. I think that's the song where he's doing it acoustically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Park Ave.
Yeah.
Park CDs.
Yep.
All right, so Blue Skies wins out there. Let's go to Black Flag.
Okay.
If we had to go... Oh man, Black Flag, there's so many options here. You know, because you brought it up earlier, Swing Life Away,
okay,
or Raise the Flag.
Oh man, Raise the Flag all day. All day.
Damn, that was fast.
All day.
That was fast. All right.
All
how many have we been through? One, two, three. I think we got two more we can go through.
Okay.
Lace Up. See, dude. Damn it, Graham. I was going to go Lace Up mixtape, but you already said that Lead You On is going to be the answer no matter what I said. So we're not going to go with Lead You On. We're going to go Lace Up mixtape still.
Okay.
What if we did The Return?
Okay.
Or The Return? Or The Return or Alice in Wonderland?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with The Return. Right. I have a lot more memories to that song. Another song, I think Cleveland was on Lace Up mixtape.
It is. Right? Yeah.
So that's a Cleveland is another one of those that's like a big memory song for me. During the summers, I would like, I live by LBI, like Long Beach Island, New Jersey. And me and a bunch of my friends would just drive down LBI Boulevard and just blast Cleveland. Blast.
That is so weird and so cool at the exact same time. All right, Graham, let's wrap it up with this. We got one final one to go through.
Okay.
Let's go. Okay, so you also mentioned in your kind of application/outline that Hotel Diablo is one of your favorite albums. So let's flip it from mixtape to album, all right?
Okay.
Floor 13 or El Diablo?
El Diablo. I like El Diablo.
Cool. And there we have it.
Yeah.
Graham. Dude, thank you so much for being on, man. I really appreciate that.
Of course. It was fun. Of course. Absolutely.
Cool. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, as always, be sure to leave a like if you're watching on YouTube and subscribe down below. If you're listening on a podcast app, be sure to follow the show so you never miss another episode and use promo code SELLOUTS to check out at pinkfucks.com to receive 10% off of your purchase. Thank you so much for watching and we will see you in the next episode.